I am a teacher by trade, 16 years in the math room. I am a school counselor now, my fifth year in the school counseling office. Yes, I draw it out of you. You can't be near me very long without me drawing out of you. Otherwise, I guess you run away. We live in a submarine. I am the last of six children. My sister and I think, didn't know that we were girls. Mom wanted six boys. There were two of us girls. I ran around without a shirt until I had to go to kindergarten. No shoes. We grew up on a farm. I had to clothe myself when we went to town. Usually I was just running around in my undergarments. I come out of a church that didn't know that women were qualified to be bold members of the kingdom. I'm educated, and I'm powerful. People used to imply that a woman couldn't, a girl couldn't. Girls weren't good at math. I taught math. Girls can't get up and preach. I'm standing right here. The youngest member of the family gets to be the leader. I never wanted to be a leader. I hated that word. I didn't want it. I always wanted someone else to blame. I am a leader. I had to grow in my confidence. I didn't have a lot of it. A lot of tragedy in our family. Failed marriage. But we have lots of blessings. I surround myself with all sorts of people. I love all sorts of people. But I wasn't always this person. I always loved people. My parents raised me to love everyone, to accept everyone. My passion is for those that are different, whether it's mentally, physically, whatever way. Because a lot of times people in society don't know how to approach or love the different one. So I always search them out, and somehow they always find me too. One of my favorite movies is The Sound of Music, and my husband just thinks it's wonderful too. I have one song that I've sang in all of my workshops, and I'll sing that one. And I thought I was going to sing a different one, but it's not that time. What would this day be like, I wonder? What would my future be, I wonder? It could be so exciting to be out in the world, to be free. My heart should be wildly rejoicing. Oh, what's the matter with me? I've always longed for adventure, to do the things I've never dared. And here I am facing adventure. Then why am I so scared? A captain with seven children. What's so fearsome about that? Oh, I must stop these doubts, all these worries. If I don't, I just know I'll turn back. I must dream of things I am seeking. I am seeking the courage I lack. The courage to serve them with reliance, face my mistakes without defiance, show them I'm worthy, and while I'll show them, I'll show me. So let them bring out all their problems. I'll do better than my best. I have confidence they'll put me to the test, but I'll make them see I have confidence in me. Somehow I will impress them. I will be firm but kind. And all those children, heaven bless them, they will look up to me and mind me. With each step I am more certain everything will turn out right. I have confidence the world can all be mine. They'll have to agree I have confidence in me. And the song goes on and on and on. It's kind of slow and it'll take a long time. But Julie Andrews helped me be strong. Shania Twain helped me be strong. Carole King helped me be strong. I would sing those songs and I would internalize that. There are strong women in this world. They have place. They have purpose. I'm a strong woman. I have place. I have purpose. But I'm a member of a family. I'm a member of a body. I'm one member. The title of my workshop is The Sound of God's Guiding Us by Faith. The workshop scripture that Nancy gave to us is 2 Corinthians 5:7. Somebody look that up for me. Tell me what it says. I had a pastor that I attended church with out in Iowa where my sister used to live. He would raise the Bible every beginning of every service and say, "This is the Lord, the word of the Lord, and I believe that it is true." I remember that. That's our foundation. Lord, I just thank you for such a time as this. You have placed us all in this workshop, including me. I have family here, I have friends, and I have people that I'm just now getting to know, but they'll be friends too. Lord, I just thank you that we have ears to hear, we have a heart that's open to receive what you have us to get out of this right now. 2 Corinthians 5:7, what does it say? We walk by faith and not by sight. I'm the last of six children. I'm a girl. I'm the youngest. We already went through all that. But I am strong and I am powerful. I am so happy that my brother Dave got to be here today. You'll have to ask him for his own testimony. I got the pleasure of having his son come under my covering for a couple of months to help him get through some life circumstances. I consider that a privilege. I texted my nephew the other day, and I said, "Benny boy, thank you for being a part of my life. Thank you for being so open and letting me walk with you through your difficulties, because that makes me a better counselor." My husband and I went out to dinner the other night, and I said, "Oh my gosh, I am so tired." I said, two anxiety attacks, an attempted suicide, trying to get off drugs. Identity issues with regards to gender. And he just, he's so witty, he counters, "So how are your students? So how are your students doing?" I'm tri-vocational. At the last conference, I said I was bi-vocational. That means two vocations. So I have a day job. I'm a school counselor, you know, more than 40 hours a week. I am a part-time college professor, teaching half of a schedule of a normal college professor. And I am a pastor's wife, so I never get to skip church. Church is in my house. And Nancy just asked me again, "Can you sign up again for next year?" And I'm thinking to myself, I want to be bluntly honest here. I am driving to school Monday morning so overwhelmed, knowing that we just had a great experience in our church. People were you know, receiving so much, and that's what needs to happen. But I'm driving to church, you know, I have to get up at 5:30 in the morning. I don't get home until 5 or 6 o'clock at night. Remember, I have that college class that I have to keep going to. I have people who pull on us for ministry, not just on weekends. You know, sheep kind of smell sometimes, and you have to get them, help get them cleaned up. So I am the girl who helps everybody else say no. That's one of my best things. You know, I'll pray about it. Well, that's really a no, you know, when that's your pat answer. But if somebody asks you to do something, should you really do it? Is it because they don't want to do it? Is it because they really think you should? Is it the leading of the Holy Spirit? So I help people analyze what's in their life and do you really need to be doing it? And there were so many people that didn't know how to practice no. And in my professional life and in my family and in my church, we do this. 1, 2, 3, no. It's that easy. So many people get so overwhelmed with so many life circumstances and make themselves so busy that they don't do very many things effectively. So prioritize. You know what? I give you permission to cut some things out of your life. Because I'm really not given the permission, your Heavenly Father's given the permission. So I'm driving to school Monday morning going, oh my God, can I handle all this? I have like 3 students in my office with major crises. You know, a teacher and a school counselor has a list this long of things that they have to do administratively. And then you have 3 people come into your office that have crises, and you have to help them if you really want to be effective. So I'm thinking, did I really help them? Is this kid really going to come back to school? You know, it was a bad afternoon on Friday. So I'm Gideon. I threw that fleece out there. We had extra service on Sunday night at my favorite church in the country. Labors with Christ, Pastor Carsey, has a vision of filling the pews. He built the church by hand, he and his sons and some friends and, you know, maybe a couple hired people. Mostly a cinder block building with homemade wooden pews that they milled themselves. But he built that floor strong so that when people come in and they're jumping up and down, it's going to be there and last. This is just a little church in the country that might have maybe 20 people, but it has like 100 pews. That church building isn't going to fill itself. It takes Beth, who thinks she is so busy, but knows that I love Pastor Carsey so much that I believe in the word that he was given, that he knows that this church is going to be filled in his lifetime, that he is going to see the spirit of the one true living God manifest. He's going to see people's lives change. He's going to see people delivered. He's going to see people healed. And I am going to see my brother stand behind that pulpit. So get off your fat butt, Beth. You think you're busy? Well, be about my business, because you can have supernatural rest. You think you're too busy? Then prioritize your life according to God's word. And I'm not being a Pharisee or a Sadducee to toot my own horn, but to give you a testimony. My husband and I were the only ones in our church last Sunday. He was praying for our church, and I really wasn't paying attention, was I? I just couldn't wait to get to the little church in the country. So I showed up, well before noon. Service was at 6. I took my flags. I walked the grounds, which we have been doing for a few Sundays and other days, cultivating the ground. I love Brother Carsey so much. I believe in his vision so much that I will give up my entire afternoon to go warfare around the little church in the country. Why? Because it is not about me. It is not about Beth. It's not about how tired she is and that she needs to take a nap and that she has 40 assignments to grade in her online class, that she's got 4 students at school that really need her and she needs to be on her best game come Monday morning. It's about all those other people that can come to Pastor Carsey's church. It's about the people in my family that will rise up and be the strong men and women of God that they need to be, because those people that are coming to that church need them. So get up off your butt, Beth. And I ran to that little church in the country, and I waved my flags, and I walked and I stomped. And I got to visit for a whole hour with Brother Carsey when he got there early, and it was wonderful. I love him. He misses his wife so much, but he still has purpose here on this earth. But you know what? I didn't go for Brother Carsey. He has his oldest son. Both of his sons followed after him in the sawmill business. His oldest son and his wife have just now stepped it up, and they are participating in the little church in the country by playing the piano and the bass guitar. And that's big for them. But it was the son that saw me walking around the property. He thought I was his niece, so he didn't come visit. And he said, oh, I was in my shorts, and nobody sees me in my shorts, so I just went back in the house. But 2 times that evening, he came and told me, thank you. Thank you for knowing and recognizing that my church is important enough for you to come and pray. Thank you. He didn't use these words. He just said, thanks for coming and praying, you know. But I know that means thank you for honoring my father. Because, you know, I know that Brother Carsey's old. He says, Dad, you know, Dad's not going to get him here. You know, that's what he said. And I'm reading between the lines. His sister, which is a little bit younger than him, is really the main leader of the church now. And she says, regarding her brother and sister-in-law, they're still just babies, you know, even though they're near her age. They're still just babies, but they're growing and they're trying. And he told me, he says, Mom, before she died, asked me to help the church out. And so I am. So he is learning how to play the guitar. Is that what he really wanted to do? No. His mama could have seen him do that for years and years and years, but it wasn't until she died that he really picked it up and started doing that. And his wife picked up the piano. And you know what he told me? He says, we have church all the time at home because they're practicing the piano and that bass guitar. I have faith that Brother Carsey's vision is going to come to pass. But it takes prophetic warriors to stomp on the ground, to declare, this is holy ground. This is God's chosen land. This is a protected land. This is where people can come and get healed. This is a place of refuge. This is a holy place, a safe place where unconditional love is given to everyone. So I pray they are a city on a hill. They are a light in a dark place. They are going to draw people to this little church in the country. People won't even know why they are showing up. They're just going to come. This isn't even my church. This is a church that Mom and Dad went to several years ago. I grew up as a preteen and a teen somewhat in that church. You know how teenagers move on. Sometimes I followed my boyfriend to a different church, and that was okay. You know, I got to see what was going on there. And they're just old-fashioned and old. That's what I thought back then. They're good, wise people with awesome foundation, with lots of love to offer so many. Sister Debbie is raising her great-nephew. Just won a wonderful battle in the courts to get custody of him. Why? Because she can, because she has purpose, because she knows that if he goes into foster care, it's not going to turn out very well, is it? This is a grandmother raising a great nephew. This isn't my church. This isn't my church where they all come to my house and, oh, look at Brother Kelly and Sister Beth, and don't they have just the magnificent church? See all those people that are going there? It's not even about my church, although it is, because we are the church. This is the kingdom of God. And when I build up and lift up and support any part of his kingdom, I am supporting and building up and lifting up my church. I hadn't had one of my visions, you know, Sabe shared about the cotton ball, and I've just been lazy or busy, and God's been, you know, I pretty much said God's been spanking me. So as part of my waving the flags and proclaiming around the church in the country, I just stilled myself and I laid down on the concrete. Okay, God, I'm here. I have worshiped for 3 hours up and down the road, all around the church. I hadn't even gone in the church yet, just all around the church property. Okay, God, I've tilled the ground. What do you have for me? I'm going to lay down and receive from you. There is a wonderful, huge, humongous Paul Bunyan angel that stands right over the top of that church. And this angel is so big that I could only see his foot and foreleg all along the entire sidewalk that was down the church. That's all I could see. This angel has an axe, and he is offering protection against anything that comes against the church and the people that are in that church. He is standing guard. That is wonderful, holy ground. Okay, Paul Bunyan. Paul Bunyan and Babe the Big Blue Ox too, right? Okay, where does Babe fit into this? I kept trying to picture a blue angel. That didn't work. It was just a cow. A big blue cow. A big blue cow. Remember, this church is a city on a hill, a light in a dark place. Imagine this, I don't know, a cow bigger than this whole building here with a big light lantern hanging down from its neck. It doesn't stay near the church. It's walking up and down the roads. And it is the light that brings the people. In the spirit, somebody might really see it, but they are coming to this little church and they don't know why. Now, is that very far-fetched? Do you really think that there's a Paul Bunyan angel? And Babe the Big Blue Spiritual Ox? Well, that's between you and God. When I told Sister Debbie, she's like, well, that's interesting, but I'll listen. But I bet she's chewing on that and being appreciative that there is covering over her family heritage. Amen. But it's part of my vision. My brother is standing behind the pulpit. I grab my sister after service and grab her hand and bring her up and I say, agree with me that this will come to pass. This is faith. This is calling things that are not as though they are. This is in the flesh. He is busy. He is a foreman. He is just worn down with life. He's got so many things going on. Who raised their hand when they said, I have a call to preach? He is standing behind that pulpit in a blue and white striped kind of checked pattern long sleeve shirt, jeans, nice leather dress shoes with his glasses, and boy is he sweating bullets. He knows he's supposed to be there, but he is scared to death. But I am so proud of my brother. 1st the women, and then the men. We started out as a family prayer group, small church, because I got tired of the depressive, suicidal spirit that lingered around my family. We lost our two oldest brothers to suicide. Every one of us have felt that. Every one of us have planned that in our own way. Our children were now starting to feel that and plan that and take things that caused them to self-destruct and harm themselves. And I was freaking fed up. But I had a mama that prayed. I knew the power of God. And I knew that prayer would do something. So I said, let's get together. And we did once. And it was good. My sister Val pokes again. We need to do it. My sister Dee repents. Yeah, we should have done it. Sabe's out doing her own thing because she's mad at God. But a handful of us, less than five, are still getting together in our homes and praying. We first started with our family. Enemy, you have no right to the Wolf family. You have no right to its children, its parents, its grandchildren, anybody associated, adopted, friend, family. It doesn't matter. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. But you know what? What's really happening? I'm consuming large amounts of alcohol. Well, not me personally, but I'm talking about people in my family. This is how we were self-destructing. I'm consuming illegal drugs. I am using my body in inappropriate ways. You think it, and it was probably happening how we were being disobedient. I'll just say that. So this is what's happening in the natural. But we know that we can walk by faith and not by sight. We can call things that are not as though they are. We are a powerful family of God. We have spiritual heritage. I have a mom and a dad that have been in church since I've been alive. They question, they wonder, they say, oh God, I used to think this way. Does it really mean this? Can my children have life? Can my grandchildren have life and that more abundantly? You betcha. Enemy, you have no right to my family. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. I speak life over my children. I speak life over my nieces and nephews. I speak life over my brothers and sisters. They are covered in Jesus' name. They are covered by the blood. They are the head and not the tail. They are redeemed. Now, is that what they were really doing in the natural? No. But one by one, we loved our men where they were. And the ladies in our prayer group, we messed up. We took it to each other. We repented. We tried again. We did what we knew to do in the way that we knew how to do it so that we could grow, so that we could be strong for our family, so that our men would rise up. First the women and then the men. That was our prophetic word. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Every one of us women in this house today. I'm looking at my sister-in-law, Val, who has fought the good fight for a lot of years. Your reward is here, darling. Your sons are protected in Jesus' name. I speak life into all three of them. They all have destiny that you have proclaimed over them. You have done it as a mama, and now this one is going to do it as a daddy. Did we criticize them? Well, we tried not to. We tried to love them. We tried to pray for them, to lift them up. Did we approve of everything that they were doing? No. We anointed their pillows. We wrote them loving words. We spoke life into them. And I see fruit. I am so proud of my Papa Wolf. I run to him now. I used to be afraid of him most of my life. But it wasn't until I was an adult that I realized how important he was to me and how much I needed him. And he is the man today that I have always needed in my life. That's him. He is a child of God. How old are you, Dad? Mid-70s. He is not finished. I share him as Papa Wolf with whoever wants the covering of a daddy. He approves of me. He tells me. I never thought he'd say this. He says, you and your sisters, including Dee and Sabre, are further along than me. Wow. You know what that means? I hear I'm the counselor with the counselor ears. I want to be where you are. Teach me how to get there. Help me see the truth that's in the Word of God. Help me hear God's voice. Help me understand and reconcile all the nastiness that has happened to my family. That's not my fault and not your fault, Dad. And how can I continue to speak life even though I have all these old behavior patterns that I need to change and I know I need to change? How do I do that? So he just started asking me lots of questions. And I start answering them. And then I tell my sister Dee, you need to go visit Dad. I'm proud of my daddy. I'm proud of my husband. I'm proud of my brother-in-law. And I'm proud of my brother. But David Wolf, this is your time. And I will not give up. I have that bulldog spirit that Sabe says that I get a hold of something and I will not let go and I will stir it and I will grate on you like a grater until you acknowledge it. I didn't think you were going to be here today and I was disappointed. And did you see my reaction when I saw you? I was so blessed. And you know what that meant to me? God gave me permission to call you out. How much time have I been going on? Okay. I'll be blunt. I was talking with Cheryl earlier. You know, I kind of confessed to her this morning after she shared a word with me, our lead intercessor here this weekend. I told her I did a God throwdown. Bam! You know, Gideon and the fleece. You let me know that I can do everything that I need to be doing. Beth, do I need to do the 1, 2, 3? No, myself. What am I going to say no to? Say no to Nancy? Say no to the college when just this weekend I get an email that says, I'm sorry, Ms. Schultz, Professor Schultz, I can't get all of my assignments in this week because I am going to Virginia because my cousin just killed themselves. Do you know that since I have started my new job, at least every other week I have had a personal, somebody I know in my realm of influence, give me a story about somebody who has either gone all the way through with suicide or written a note and gotten very close. Every other week, and I started in the end of July. I'll have a student in my office. And while things are going on and I don't know quite what to do with them in the natural, I'll just sit there and pray in tongues. And we'll be talking about how I'm in this black box and I can't get out of it. So let's build a door and then let's get into the white room. And how do I get out of the white room? Well, I love YouTube videos, so I watch YouTube videos and then I can come back to the real world. I mean, this is a really oppressed student. In the midst of that conversation and trying to help him realize and visualize that he can get himself out of situations, I'm speaking in tongues, and he just stops, and he kind of looks left and right, and he goes, you know, I don't want to tell my parents this, but I don't know if I believe in God or not. Where did God come from out of all that conversation? Well, you know, I was speaking in tongues, and that stuff that's talking to him around him all the time is telling him something. I don't know whether to listen to this voice. It's like I have, you know, that old cartoon where you have a devil on one side and an angel on the other. Which one do I listen to? I don't think I really believe in God, but I don't want to tell my mom and dad. Do those kids need me? Well, I can't say no to my day job then.
I still have to do all those administrative things, but still be the loving counselor that they need. I got a text the other night. Miss Schultz, guess what Saturday is? Well, I don't know. Your birthday? No, I'm 2 weeks clean. That's big stuff. That's big stuff. Do I quit relationship with my family? Do I cut people off, not pour into their lives? Do I not go to church even though it's in my own house? Do I make excuses and go somewhere else so that I can rest in the natural? Cheryl, what do you think? Am I allowed to quit anything? She's shaking her head no. I just kept saying all week, the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. I was tired. I was run down. I was a little bit discouraged. But I have seen and I have had enough testimony in the last couple of days to say, Beth, you're making a difference. And sometimes we need that positive reinforcement just to say, fight the good fight. You know, call things that are not as though they are. I have done that so long, but it is so good to see fruit. Thank you, Jesus. And I am not puffing myself up. This is not me. This is the Christ in me. I am the lion and I am the lamb because I am Jesus. Now, is that being puffed up? No, that means I model myself after Jesus. So when you need me to say, you have just as much energy as I have in Jesus' name.
Praise God. I believe it.
I do too. So when I say, you have a voice, a strong voice, and you won't stay in the background anymore. You will be bold, and you will make bold proclamations in Jesus' name. All right, she said. When I say, I love you, my second father and second mother, who I could go to, if my real natural mom and dad weren't around. You mean that much to me. And I can look at you and say, thank you. Thank you for what you've done in everyone's life. Thank you for being steadfast. Thank you for having relationship with my mom and dad. Thank you for being a part of my life. You have a purpose. You have a purpose in my life, and you have a purpose in everyone that you touch. I believe that you're not finished and that God will reveal to you that campground is a ministry. You know that already, don't you? Yeah? Not only is it a place of rest, it's a ministry opportunity. Amen. But I can also say, you know, I know a lot of things have gone on in your past that you probably haven't shared with a lot of people. And I know that you still might have some wounding in there that God needs to heal. Can I help you heal that? And they might not be ready, but at least they know that you care. And they don't have to come to me. But I get to be the lamb. I get to go as an innocent and let them know that they're still important and that they are worth getting to know and that they are worth helping. No matter if it takes me years, I will love you and I will help you be the best Christian that you can be. Find your notes page and flip over to the back. It was my scripture at the bottom, 2 Corinthians 5:5 in the New American Standard Bible that sparked this. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. And that kind of bounced around in my head, the pledge. So I, you know, say it with me. You can say the one on the left because everyone knows this. Everybody, pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. So I thought, yeah, our founding fathers were awesome, and I love what they represented, and they created a new world based on biblical principles. I honor them for that. But what does that mean for me today? You know, a pledge. How can I see this in the kingdom of God with the influence of the Holy Spirit? So I turned it into, I pledge allegiance to the Spirit, God, creator of all the universe, the heaven and earth, in which we live, one body, in Christ, unified with grace and peace for all his children. Alliance. Unity. At the bottom, you'll see, depending on which conference you come to, the one up in Ketchikan has the same spiritual meals as the one here. But it lets you know what I have been taking in my eyes and my ears to say, hey, this is what I've been feasting on. I've been listening to this. I've been reading this. This is what's ministered to me. This is what, if all I eat is candy bars all day long for a month, do you think I'm going to be very healthy? No. I need a well-balanced diet. I go to church, I pray, I read my Bible, I fellowship with my brothers and sisters, and then I go to these sources, which helps feed me too. And here's where I'm stuck. Is there an extra one? Look at the one that's a Bill Johnson, the second one. You know, the Scott McKnight and the Pastor Brady Bodie. They and Lisa Bevere, they have really been emphasizing a woman has place in the kingdom. And boy, have I been eating that up. That doesn't mean that the woman is out in front. Do you notice that any time Nancy gets up and says, I'm a woman preaching, she always refers to her husband and a covering. She always lets you know that she has somebody that she submits to. I submit to my husband and pastor. I submit to my dad. I submit to my brothers and sisters. They cover me. I submit to Nancy when she says, where's Mary Beth? Come here. Yes, ma'am. Right up there. I trotted, didn't I? Women, when they rise up and take their rightful place beside their men, not in front, worshipped as a goddess, not in back, demeaned as a peon or a worthless piece of trash that's used and abused, but alongside. Satan, crush your head in Jesus' name. We together will be unstoppable. The kingdom of God will manifest as it should. When husbands and wives, fathers and daughters, brothers and sisters come in alignment in the way where they really need to be, unified with one another, in submission to one another, you will be unstoppable. In alliance. Sometimes I write things down because I don't quite understand them, or just because they rub me the wrong way, or because they really say, oh yeah, I believe that. So Bill Johnson, in his Sermon of the Week, Hope, the Womb of Legacy, back on September 14th, says these words, keep an ongoing list of your dreams. Every dream is significant. Born of God. Sometimes we dream things that we think will happen this way, and it's only when we get in the middle of the difficulty or challenges that we find completely different ways to answer this cry of the heart. There are some people who have protected their comfort zone with unbelief. I refuse to insulate people from the pain of their unbelief. And he goes on to read Romans 4:17 and a few more verses. And through faith, we inherit promises. Abiding faith attracts promises from God. God's a good steward. He plants into healthy environments a heart of hope. Divine hope consumes natural hope. Now, I liked all of that, but I really focused on there are some people who have protected their comfort zone with unbelief, and he refuses to insulate them. Well, I go to a church that doesn't believe that. I don't believe in all that manifestation of the Holy Spirit. I don't believe that we walk in all of the fivefold ministry. I believe, oh, that was just in the New Testament. There shouldn't be speaking in tongues now. Women shouldn't be preaching. They hide behind their unbelief. When I went through my master's degree in counseling, I learned you believe what you want to believe because it makes you feel better about yourself. I don't care what it is you believe. I believe what you want to believe because it makes you feel better about yourself. Chew on that a while. Because some people have some really odd beliefs. It's about as useless as a screen door on a submarine. Faith without works, babe. It just ain't happening. One is your left hand. One is your right. It'll take two strong arms to hold on tight. Some folks cut off the nose just to spite their face. I think you need some works to show for your alleged faith. Well, there's a difference, you know, between having faith and playing make-believe. One will make you grow. The other one just make you sleep. Talk about it. But I really think you ought to take a leap off all the ship before you claim to walk on water. Faith without works is like a song you can't sing. It's about as useless as a screen door on a submarine. Faith comes from God, and every word that he breathes, he lets you take it to your heart so you can give it hands and feet. It's gotta be active if it's gonna be alive. You gotta put it into practice. Otherwise, it's about as useless as a screen door on a submarine. Faith without works, babe. It just ain't happening. One is your right hand. One is your left. It's your light, your guide, your life, and your breath. Faith without works is like a song you can't sing. It's about as useless as a... You know, there's a visual on the back of that sheet. Screen door on a submarine. They make these t-shirts that say, why do you always have to be the screen door on my submarine? I am passionate. Because I care about people. I want you to experience freedom. I want those in your life and in your family, in your professional life, in all of your realm of influence, which could include anybody that looks at your Facebook post, or your Twitter, or whatever, or your car if you have a vanity license plate. You influence people, and I want them to be changed because they have known you. They have experienced God because they have rubbed up against you. They experience freedom. They have truth. They have hope to go forward. I believe that you can believe that we can call things that are not as though they are, that we can walk by faith and not by sight. So flip over to the front and thank you. I love you, my brother Dave. I have used you as the example and put you on the spot, but you already knew it, didn't you? Yeah. So modern teaching, you have an entrance or an exit ticket or a pretest or a post-test. So this is a way daily how teachers can see, they internalized the lesson today. So I want you to spend some time filling out what do you believe for yourself, for your family, for your local church body, for your place of employment, for the global church body. And then, because faith without works is nothing. Screen door on a submarine. How am I going to see this manifest in your life? How does this belief manifest in your life? Number two. So I actually want you to take a writing implement with your paper and fill something out. Does anybody need a handout? They like to talk back. Do we have a, or do I take this off and hold it to their mouth? If you noticed, I kind of wander all over the sanctuary. You know, Sabe's heard me talk a lot, and we shared a lot. But the first time I shared this message, something that she came away with was something I talked about wandering. And as a teacher, I would walk up beside somebody that was misbehaving, and my presence would be a catalyst to them to self-examine to see what they were doing. I wouldn't always need to say, quit doing that, or why are you doing that? So just walk up to them, and it's a nonverbal that says, get your stuff together. So presence. So she focused on that, like, you know, presence, weighty Holy Spirit presence. That's something that she'd never heard me talk about, is, you know, the teacher kind of side of me. So I walk around, I intermingle, I get in your face. And class participation, you teach somebody else is the best way for you to learn. So I need someone to share, or multiple someones, something that they are believing for. That way, the multitude of witnesses, including us physically and those around us spiritually, can agree with you. You want to go?
For my family to be a proverbial wife, and my place of employment kind of goes along to that, to teach, build up, equip my children to become and walk in their destiny in the body. For the global church body, unity, power, revival. And how does this belief manifest in my life? Prayer, prayer, and more prayer. And at the foot of the cross, I take it all.
Amen. You don't have to share them all. You can share one. You know, some things are too personal, too hurting right now, too sensitive, too giving too much information about somebody that doesn't want to share that yet. And I respect that, you know. Some things shouldn't be shared yet. Some things shouldn't be shared ever, except for with a few who can help you overcome.
Some places I never thought I would be. What do I believe about myself? 67 years old, I finally know that I'm God's chosen, walking in my destiny, seeking more always. But more importantly, in the last year, about my family. We're being mended, united with each other, and closer to Christ. I'm seeing my son's life changed. And my children not at odds with each other anymore. It's a miracle.
Amen.
For myself, put God will prevail, renewing of my mind. My perspective and how I deal with the things I come in contact with by living by faith, not by sight. For my family, peace and understanding, peace that God's got everything under control, and the understanding, even though I can't see it, knowing he's still working it out. For my local church, guidance to do God's will, truth, where we can be honest with ourselves concerning God, and unity, we come together as a one body. Place of employment, healing, those I come in contact with, that God may use me in some way to bring them closer to him, and reconciliation with Jesus. And how does this belief manifest in your life? Mostly through tears, honestly. Through just, honestly, Mary Beth's workshop, living by faith, not by sight, that's, to me, that's everything. That's what he's really pounding in me. So it might not make sense, but that's what I got. Thanks.
Amen. Who else has a burning desire to share so that we can agree with you?
I led my first mission trip to Honduras last year, and I had 10 teenagers. And God keeps telling me that this year we're going to build 15 houses, which is crazy, and that we are going to have a 50-person team to do it. And so I believe that it's going to happen some way or another. I have little ones, they're teenagers, high school kids that are single family and they can't afford. And so somehow God's going to make a way to get them there. So,
amen. God makes a way. Sometimes it's not always the way we thought it was going to be. I don't want to cut anyone off if they want to share. Find a partner. Find a trio. You don't have to share your paper if you don't want to. I just want you to hold hands and agree. So find yourself a partner. I don't care if you know them. I don't care if you go across the room. If God leads you to go seek somebody else out, go do it. You're a mature group here. If there's something that you want to share with them so that they can agree with you and that you can hold each other up in prayer and be accountability partners, go for it. If you just want to close your paper and hold hands and pray over the paper, that works too. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, and this will be the conclusion. Lord, bless these words. Amen.